Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the good news of Jesus Christ according to John. It's not the Gospel of John, right? The Gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's the Gospel of Jesus Christ recorded for us by John. And just as you turn there, I'm going to remind you that we are in the Nicene Creed, and we have paused at that phrase in the third section of the Nicene Creed, three sections being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. Paused in that third section where we read that we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And I have mentioned to you previously, and I repeat this morning, that one of the great omissions in the contemporary Christian church in North American evangelicalism is an understanding it for an appreciation of the church. So one reason why we want to pause here and see what Scripture has to teach about that. The other is that far too many people, and we are not immune to this as a congregation, take a consumerist approach to church. That is, I choose church based on what I get from it, and I go to get. And part of this series is an attempt to battle against a consumerist mentality in the church. Rather, that we all take an active role as members in the church. And to that end, this morning, want to consider reciprocal Christianity. And I'll explain that in the course of time. I'm going to look at just two verses here, verses 34 and 35. Verses 34 and 35, John chapter 13. Jesus speaking here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So, reciprocal Christianity explained, and then reciprocal Christianity examined. We often talk, maybe not enough, about communion. We're going to have communion this morning, but also a communion of the saints, communion of the saints. And reciprocal Christianity deals with those commands in the New Testament about the communion of the saints. And it explicitly eliminates the idea of a consumer church, all right? And those commands all contain these two words, one another. It's only one word in Greek. In Greek, it's allelon, so one another. So there are commands, such as we read here in the text, to love one another, all right? And there are numerous commands like that, as we'll see. They are reciprocal pronouns. That is, they are mutual obligations on both parties or all parties within a group and the relationships within the group. They are things that one ought to do to and for one another and not to and for each other. And that's what Jesus is spelling out here in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This requires Christians fully and unreservedly to commit to one another all that they have and all that they are. Now, how does that to be done is the question. Well, recognize that there's an interrelationship between people in the church. We are not just isolated, segregated individuals assembling together to have our own experience with God on Sunday or to have our own relationship with the Lord during the week apart from the other members of the church. As we looked at last time, the church is a body and all the members are important, all the members are essential, and all the members are related to one another. Just as my arm is related to my torso, is related to my waist, is related to my posterior, is related to my legs, etc., etc., etc. So, There are negative commands, but they are to be done for mutual edification. We noted this last week in 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Ephesians chapter 4, that God has placed each member in the body, all right, and when each part of the body does its part, the church builds or grows. And so this is a way to do that. And one important qualification before going on, notice in verse 34, that you are to love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. That we are to love one another because Christ has first loved us. All right? So it's because of one's relationship to Jesus Christ that therefore of necessity, inherently, there is a relationship to others. But it is preceded first by one's relationship to Jesus Christ. And in of necessity, then you are related to someone else that is related to Jesus Christ by faith. So this is not something that is man-centered here. The goal of reciprocal Christianity is to glorify God and to manifest a relationship amongst the members of the church that God has first taken the initiative to begin with each individual, all right? So that it's because Jesus Christ on the cross suffered and died for the forgiveness of our sins and that expression of his love for every individual member of the church that we are to acknowledge that in others and we are to manifest a relationship with those others as well. So, I am not going to delve into lengthy explanations of all the reciprocal passages in the Bible. The term allelone for one another is used 100 times in 94 verses of the Bible. It would take much longer than the time allotted in our 10:30 service to exhaust all those passages. So I'm going to try to consolidate, or if you will, condense into a brief examination of this reciprocal Christianity for our purposes this morning. I'm going to condense them in a number of categories. One-third of the one another commands deal with the unity of the church. The unity of the church. We talk about believing one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Think of these just as I read through them for the sake of time this morning. Be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Wait for one another, with specific reference to the Lord's Supper. You remember the problem at Corinth was that some people were getting there and they were scoffing down all the food and drink before anybody else got there. And Paul had to reprove them, and God brought sickness and even death on the congregation for that. So it's not a small matter. Don't bite, devour, and consume one another. No backbiting, no backstabbing. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. No gift envy. We're going to talk about gifts, Lord willing, next week. Spiritual gifts. I mentioned that last week. I want to spend some time at least considering that, since most people are not aware or self-conscious of spiritual gifts. But oftentimes there's gift envy. I wish I was like that person. I wish I was like her or like him. But don't envy one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Right? The famous line I often say is, somebody said to me about someone newly attending the church, and this was a long time ago, the person isn't even here now, but, that person's got problems, to which my response was, and you don't? Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another. Bear with one another. Seek good for one another. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't complain against one another. confess sins to one another. It's an interesting passage in James chapter 5 from which some segments of the Christian church take to be auricular confession. That is, that you're to confess your sins to a particular person. And that's not. We are to confess sins to one another. And that's part of having a relationship with someone, is that you can be candid and transparent with them. So, the unity of the church. Second main category, one-third of the one another commands instruct Christians to love one another, as we have here in our text. There are numerous references, I'm not going to even read them all, about loving one another. Also, through love, serve one another. Tolerate one another in love. Greet one another with a kiss of love. When we first started 17 years ago down in lower Manhattan, we had a visit from a friend from Michigan who had been in a church where these commands were either ignored or neglected. And as a result, the church fractured itself. It didn't split. It literally fractured itself and wound up closing its doors. And she came and visited us at the beginning of this work in Lower Manhattan and saw people hugging one another, enthusiastically greeting one another. And that struck her, because that had never occurred in that church of which she was a part that fractured. And she said, never stop that. Never stop that. And that's been a hallmark right down to this day, even if it has to be virtual hugs because of COVID, is that that's an aspect of promoting that with one another. Greet one another with a kiss. Well, we don't necessarily, would take us far afield, but greet one another enthusiastically. Be devoted to one another in love. Another category, 15% of these one another commands stress an attitude of humility and deference among believers. Listen to some of these. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Serve one another, again. Wash one another's feet. So some of these commands, I'll just take a brief moment to address this, like greet one another with the holy kiss or wash one another's feet. These are clearly commands, and you may ask yourself, why is it, if they are imperatives and commands in the Bible, why is it that we don't do that, all right? This is a lesson in, and just a brief digression here to address it, a lesson in interpreting the Bible, all right? A lesson in interpreting the Bible. There's a difference between the command to do something and the form in which that command takes place, all right? This is a difference in how you deal with cultural differences in the Bible, all right? Obviously, there are very clear, stark, obvious differences that were in the Old Testament that we no longer observe in the New Testament. And yet there are also clear, obvious differences between what occurred in the New Testament that are no longer applicable today. Why? Because we live in a different culture. This is one of them, right? Wash one another's feet. Now, why don't we do that? Well, because we don't walk in sandals on dirt-covered roads. And because we don't do that, when you come to someone's house, it was customary when you entered their house to wash the feet, take the sandals off, get the dust off your feet, the dirt off your feet, and wash their feet as an expression of hospitality, as an expression of kindness and deference to your guest. But because we don't use sandals on dirt-covered roads anymore, the form of obedience to that command has changed because of the culture we live in. It's the same thing with greeting one another with the holy kiss. Now, you may want to kiss each other, and I certainly wouldn't discourage that, but we generally don't. But the idea is that we enthusiastically acknowledge and embrace one another, whether that's a firm handshake, whether that's a hug, whether that's some other expression of kindness and recognition of a brother or sister. The form which that that command is obeyed changes because of the culture in which we live. Those of you, I'll give you an example. My friend is an Italian in Brooklyn, and whenever we meet, he says, give me love, which means I have to kiss him, right? If you went to the Mealy house, they would kiss you. Many Hispanic households, the same thing. If when I lived in the Middle East for 3 years, men kiss each other when they greet. That's the customary greeting when two men meet in a social setting. But we don't live in the Middle East. We don't live in Mediterranean countries like Italians or Hispanics. We live largely as in a nation formed by Northern Europeans, which are more cold and detached and one thing or the other. But we should still enthusiastically greet one another. All right, hermeneutics lesson over. Wash one another's feet. Don't be haughty. We're talking about humility here. Be of the same mind. Be subject to one another. Clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. Humility is a difficult virtue. As a matter of fact, it's the only virtue you can't be proud of. But we ought to be humble. And here are the rest of these one another commands. Do not judge one another. Don't put a stumbling block in a brother's way. Husbands and wives, don't deprive one another of physical intimacy. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. Don't lie to one another. Comfort one another concerning the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4. It's in the context of people in the congregation dying. This would be important with respect to the Mealy family, for example. And this is an important thing, right? Oftentimes when there's a loss, and I just say this for your benefit so you know how to approach and deal with certain circumstances, oftentimes when there's a death in the family, such as we recently experienced with the Benitez and Mealy's now and others, many times you don't know what to say, right? And sometimes silence is the better path. Just be there for the person, a ministry of presence, if you will. But empathy is good, but it's not the most important thing in a circumstance like that. The most important thing is to point people to God. And that's what Paul does as he addresses the Thessalonians, and he talks about the members of the Thessalonican church that had died. He points them to the hope of the resurrection, and that's ultimately what you want to do. Now, in all circumstances, people that have passed are not believers, and that becomes another subject. But encourage and build up one another. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. All of these commands are the commands in the Bible which are one another commands and are important if we are to be a reciprocal church, right? 100 times. And just think, here's another reason why there are no Lone Ranger Christians. You can't be a Lone Ranger Christian and express any one of these commands. You can't do it. You can't be a member of the invisible church and practice these 100 commands. They call for relationships amongst people in a church. And it, of course, militates against a consumer approach to church, that I go to church to get. If anything, we understand from these passages that we go to church to be part of a body, that we go to give, that we go to be in relationship with one another. Why? Because Christ called us into a relationship with himself. We love because he loved us first. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for these directions. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Help us to carry them out even better than we already are. And help us, Father, to manifest that unity in this church and to carry through on the love with which Christ has loved us in manifesting that to our brothers and sisters. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen and amen.